You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Peace, family. It's 19 Keys with the 19 Keys podcast. You're listening to a high-level conversation. Tap in. All right, a word from one of our sponsors. Make sure you tap into Goldwater Products. After you come listen to the information, you're going to need your memory stimulated so you can download everything in that prefrontal cortex. You want to make sure that hippocampus area of your brain that regulates mood, memory, and learning is fully functional and tapped in. Therefore, you want to tap into Goldwater. They have Smart Moss, Sports Moss, Vitamin C Moss, Colloidal Silver. They have just about everything that you, your child, and your whole entire family needs to stimulate your brain and your body and to make sure that your immune system is functioning. Before you tap into this great high-level conversation, listen to this song by Tezu Kulando called Goldwater. Peace, family. It's 19 Keys. That's 19 Keys are high-level conversations. Today, we have a very special guest and a very special petition that I need you all to get behind. As we know that we are dealing with data wars, we've talked about this before on this podcast, about the importance of controlling and owning our own data. Today, I have a very special, special guest that has created something that can help us own our own get data and put some of the power back in the hands of the people. It is Angela Bitton. She is an American businesswoman, a black woman. Bitten founded New Me, which was acquired and sold to another black woman, which was the first accelerator for minorities globally in 2011. She's a pioneer of diversity in technology industry and one of the most important African Americans in the technology industry. She has helped minority-led tech companies raise over $47 million in venture capital funding. Bitten has received numerous accolades for her work, of which some include Goldman Sachs, 100 Most Intriguing Entrepreneurs, Fast Company, Most Influential Women in Technology, Business Insiders, 25 Most Influential African Americans in Technology, and many more. I don't think I need to go any further. I'm going to let you all get into this podcast. There is a call to action for this podcast. We're not sitting here just listening. Everybody who listens to this podcast should be involved in this movement. Often we hear about things that tech companies are doing with our data. We hear about things that government are doing with our lives. And we ask ourselves, what can we do? Well, I'm here to give you a couple of action items today. Listen to this video. Make sure you sign the petition. And I hope you have a great day. Tap in. That's so important.
So it's so important because everyone is kind of fascinated by technology, like the Instagrams, the Facebooks, WhatsApp, and they see a lot of the headlines and, you know, such and such company got acquired. Most folks are not understanding that these companies are built off of your data. And so when you look at the market cap of many of these companies, they make billions and billions of dollars off of our data. When you start to look at the black community specifically, we generally over-index in technology. So that's social media, anything around streaming. And so, you know, when you kind of, I guess, do a deep dive, you're like, oh, well, actually, you know, a lot of black people are responsible for, you know, a lot of this success from a data perspective. So what we do we have consumer-facing applications. One of them is called Culture, that are focused on specific audiences. I wanted to focus on the African-American audience first because we are always, excuse my language, we're always making shit pop, basically, and it never goes back into the community. And so you do see a lot of culture vultures that are out right now, even in terms of, you know, it doesn't have to be Black content specific, but the example that I like to give is, like, for instance, we all remember when Bird Box was streaming on Netflix, mm-hmm. right? So Bird Box went viral. Why? Because Black people were making memes, period. But none of the...
We lost you there for a second, if you could repeat that. We lost you at Bird Box.
Okay, so you guys, I'm not sure how many of you guys stream. Everyone pretty much streams nowadays, but I'm sure you guys may remember when Bird Box became really popular. Bird Box had been on the streaming platform on Netflix for a while, but we started, when I say we, Black people started creating memes around Bird Box. That's when it really took off and started to go viral. That's when Netflix got all the views. You can look at the same situation with Popeyes, right? For example, with the Popeyes sandwich. So from a data perspective, whether it's our views, our money, our tweets, you know, what we're sharing, we are responsible for a lot of stuff that being successful that never really comes back into the community. So Culture, what we really do is basically help people actually get access to their data, own it, and then sell it. And so the whole idea around owning your data, I've been working on for some time. The biggest problem and the biggest issue around data ownership is that we don't have any data privacy laws in the United States.
Right.
And so for those that may be international, you may be familiar with GDPR. There's some other countries that actually, I think I was reading that the United States is the most progressive Western society that does not have a data privacy law at all. This is a huge problem. We live in a technological society. AI is prevalent. AI is growing, right?
Absolutely.
We have nothing that is regulated. AI only works if you have data, right? So it's very, very important that we get data privacy laws in place. And so part of what, you know, we're actually doing right now is, you know, we did some stuff around streaming, which is great. I'm pretty known in terms of what I do in technology. And so I'll often write op-eds and different things around technology from a perspective as it affects minorities.
Right.
And one of the biggest things that I saw, especially with all the conversations around COVID-19 and the coronavirus, is, you know, of course we got all of the data around, oh, wow, it's affecting, you know, African-Americans more, so on and so forth. But when you start to look at what's happening in China and other Asian communities, you see that they're using contact tracing. So contact tracing is not a technology. It's actually a methodology that people in public health use to actually track contagion and spreads of viruses. So it's something that should happen in a situation like this. The issue becomes not even that Google and Apple just recently announced that they're partnering up to release an application. This is unprecedented. Google and Apple, they're competitors.
Right.
They don't partner up, right?
Right.
So they're partnering up to release an application so that we have contact tracing in the United States. That's supposed to come out in mid-May. After that, they're changing the operating systems of the device to also include and support contact tracing. This is a big deal because we do not have data privacy laws in place. And so when you look back at history, whenever there's crises like this that happen,
absolutely,
that's when they push the laws through.
Right. We lose more rights.
We lose more rights. And so that's what's about to happen. So the petition, I wrote an article about it and how, you know, it's really important for our community to pay attention to this, specifically because historically we've been tracked since we've been on you know, in North America.
Absolutely. Give me one second.
You know what I mean? So that is something that is that we can't let happen again. What could potentially happen could be akin to freedom papers that many of us or many of our ancestors had to have just to go out and go about daily life. And this is not any kind of conspiracy theory or anything. This is already happening in China.
Yeah.
It's gonna happen.
Yeah, our future looks like China's present.
Exactly. In general, from a technology perspective, China's typically about 5 years ahead of the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you look at stuff that happens in China, it typically comes to the U.S. They're very, very progressive.
Right.
In fact, even if you look at the GDP from a country level, China has more GDP than the United States, which is a whole other topic I can get with the TikTok security thing and around that. But anyway, to stick to really the point of the situation is, contact tracing, mobile contact tracing, when this rolls out from Google, almost said Facebook, from Google and Apple, what this is basically going to do is it's going to take your location.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to know, based on your location, where you've been around, and because it's happening at the device level, Apple and Google basically can reach 3 billion people. So it's not just that they have your location, it's also that they have the location of people around you, right? And so they can triangulate, okay, Angela has been in contact with these five people. These five people might be her family or people that are in, you know, her neighborhood. And so when you look at Black communities, this has the potential to not just affect you, to affect our whole community. Secondly, when they start to deploy vaccinations, they will likely use the data that is being collected and contact tracing to administer vaccinations to the places that need it most. It's going to be determined by the places they need it most based on who's infected more and where the morbidity rate is, which is the African-American community. And so, again, this is very, very important because we want to be able to have data privacy laws in place that, number one, say during a crisis or a public health state of emergency, or just really a state of emergency in any respect, yes, you can have access to my data, but for what limited amount of time, right? That's very important. Because the potential of what could happen is if that time period is not specified, then
it becomes a new norm.
What will happen is they'll have your data forever, right? And so they'll slowly roll into, and the video I posted where Edward Snowden is talking about this is very, very real. And he gives an excellent overview of how this changes societies at a mass level. And it's because decisions are being made in a frantic time,
mm-hmm.
a time that people are scared. Where they're saying, okay, you can have, you know, my data, whatever, so that we can get out of quarantine or that no more people die, right? And like, yes, this is true. We don't want more people to die, but we need a data privacy law in place before contact tracing happens.
I 100% agree. And thank you for that breakdown. That was excellent. You said in the video, Snowden said something important that I like as a tagline for this is they're creating the infrastructure for oppression.
Yes.
And of course, you know, it's the same model of what happened during 9/11, of course, and it's the same model that happens throughout time, that governments utilize pandemics, right? They utilize terrorist attacks and events and take away more rights, which gives them more power. This
right.
is a trend. This is something, if you study history, you're going to see throughout all paradigm shifts.
Exactly.
I specifically started to teach about AI years back just because as you learn about it, I always put things in a frame of thinking of, damn, we already behind as a people. Giving
yeah.
our oppressors even more power puts us even further behind, right?
Yeah.
So even when we catch up to some of the things that they're doing, we don't have any power to do anything about it. And
yeah.
so that's the more dangerous thing. And then we start to accept the world that will come instead of saying that, oh, no, we actually, while the cement is still wet, we have the ability to make some changes in these things.
Exactly.
Right. And that's how, if you will, we flatten the curve of this infrastructure a little bit. as we try to build up our own world and try to catch up with some of the things that we are left behind in the dust from.
Exactly.
We are people that's, you know, 1964 during the Watts riots was one of the biggest crowd studies in history at the time. And really collected a lot of data on the traits and characteristics of the black crowd mind. You know, and I always say that that's important because if you think about the amount of data that they had then, right, before the technological boom, and then the amount of data that they have now to understand, interpret the black mind and emotions, then you have to understand that all these things are played out strategically and calculated, right?
Yeah.
Because there's no other point of collecting that data other than to use it, right? And so now we are at this point in time to where they've run these simulation games before pandemic. They run what they could get over in front of the people. They know what the people will and won't accept. So being a disruptor during this time, the one thing that's hard to calculate is that black spirit sometime, right? Is that black messiah sort of thought process that J. Edgar Hoover was afraid of in the FBI. And so that particular mentality is the only thing that white supremacy or anybody that's in an oligarchy or a corporation that just wants their plans to be ran smoothly are concerned about, because it's disruptive to their plans and it's disruptive to that reality and to that world, right? So we have a lot of tech giants who, because of first, second, third, fourth, and now fifth generation of cellular and telecommunications, because of the rollout of their products, they've been able to gain so much power. They become a government of their own. And so now when you see massive companies like Google and Apple getting together, it's better for us when they're divided, right? You know, you don't want to see those things happen at all, right? And so for the people, the question becomes, okay, we hear you. We're hearing about all of these things that's happening around us, and kind of the point of all of this at the same time is to make you feel overwhelmed to where you can't just
so you
wait till it's
anything.
Over. Right.
Exactly.
But the thing is that we actually have the ability to do something that each and every time that we can put our finger on the pulse and we can say, no, we don't want this thing. You understand me? But when we relinquish those rights and start to accept things, then essentially we become a sacrifice to whatever else is next. Right? Because the whole thing about a sacrifice is essentially a willing participate, right? You willingly participate in your own oppression. And as we sit in the house and do nothing and we just look around and allow them to do everything, we allow the Bill Gates of the world to tell us what's going to happen instead of saying that, no, that's not even a possibility. Just because you said it, it means nothing, right?
Yeah.
And so the people have the responsibility, right, to take ownership of their own freedoms. Right. Those who have agendas against your freedoms, that's not their responsibility to treat you right. You're not supposed to have a social contract with them in the first place. So when we think about how our people will be affected by it, we know for one, we have private prison industries. Right. We already know that we deal with police terrorism. We deal with biased healthcare systems. Right. We deal with being soft targets to everything just about. So. Now that we are in this point in time, we have to be strategic about our alliances, strategic about our movements, and strategic about getting some wins on the table to say that, okay, no, we're not actually laying down on none of these things. We will be the thorn in the side. We will be the disruptor in the algorithm at this particular point in time. And so that's why I wanted to bring you on because, you know, if you're sitting at home, you have nothing but time to sign a petition. You have zero excuses besides the fact that you may not be aware, right? So I want to thank you personally for starting that. And for all those around the world that are doing similar work that may not have a platform or may not be known, right?
Yeah.
And those who are listening, you have the responsibility to share this out with other people, to let them know about things that will affect them in the future that later you might be sitting in a coffee shop complaining about because you didn't do anything at this time.
Yes, and I just want to actually thank you for even reaching out as soon as you saw it because, you know, people kind of know me in my industry, and some people in our community know me, but I'm largely, like, you know, low-key, and it's been disheartening to see a lot of the conversations that our political leaders have been having without any mention of technology at all. and these implications. And you were actually the first one to reach out to me and ask me if I wanted to be on, which, you know, is really great. So I really do appreciate that, because this is very important information, especially when you take into account the global population growth, right? Globally, there are going to be more people of color on the planet. Most of the population growth between now and 2050 is actually coming out of Africa. These are not the, you can go on the World Economic Forum website and see all this information. You know what I mean? And so when you start to think about, you know, how society in a lot of different countries are changing and how data is becoming so important in our everyday life, it becomes very critical that we know and understand the game that is being played right now and not get scared of it, but mobilize and work together as a community.
Absolutely.
And take action.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the key. I keep telling people we are in the mad world, mobilization, automation, digitization. And if you don't adapt and become a mad scientist in the world, then essentially, you're going to catch the SADs, and that's stress, anxiety, depression, and suicide. Especially in a time where unemployment is high, the mental stress on the average person is going to be high. And so you won't even have the leisure time to think about your rights, right? And that's a very important thing, is that especially not only during this time, during recession, during depression, the people will be distracted on survival. So anything that affects them in the long term, they won't even be able to think about. You understand me? You have this mental myopia where you have an inability to think about future consequence. And you can only think about your survival and your basic needs. So we have to consistently remind ourselves that, wait a minute, there's things that's going on around us that's going to affect us in the future. The same way this is going on right now and it's affecting us in the present. Right?
Exactly.
There's things that we could have done years ago to avoid the type of situation that we're in now. And it's not as bad as it will and can get. So we have to ask ourselves, what can we do in the present now to start curtailing some of these things so that we can say, okay, I at least put up a fight. At the least you put up a fight. At the least you try, right? And then at the most you do, right? Like you can only do your part from what you can do. So the good sister started a petition. And so all of you all can go follow. I'm going to put the link in my bio right after this as well. And right now it's in my stories, so you can swipe up in my stories. And you'll be able to go sign the petition. Sign a petition. And then I want you to share it on your page, right? Educate the people and let them know that it's something important. Send it to the Shine Kings of the world. Send it to your celebrities. Go into the quarantine radio and tell them about the petition. Let people know wherever there are people, eyes, and attention. Everybody has a responsibility to do something, right? And so if you're not utilizing your platform like that in this particular part of time, then you are part of the problem, right? Especially once you become aware of a problem, you decide to ignore it. And there's too many people during this time. Not only do we decide to ignore the problem, we decide to ignore each other. And that's really the larger problem, right? So if someone like yourself who's educated, who's successful, speaks about an issue in your field that you're educated on, then everyone should listen. Everyone should take that serious. It should not just be a double tap on a picture and then we go back to our normal lives, right? Because then essentially what you're doing is you're opting into the system and everything that goes along with it. And so you kill your ability to complain in the future. It falls null and void. Does it say, well, you had opportunity. We put it in the news. Right. We told you what we was going to do. You had to accept it before it was done. And so every time we see something happen, either we accept it by ignorance or accept it by choice.
Yes. And, you know, just so that you guys understand, when you sign the petition, you're not just signing a petition and that's it. And it's a lot of talk. We're sending, or I'm sending three letters. I'm sending a letter to Congress. I'm sending a letter to the committees that oversee the FTC, which is the Federal Trade Commission, which regulates a lot of this. And when we do get a data privacy law goes into place, they will be the one that manage it. I'm sending it to the Congressional Black Caucus. Fauci was just on the news. One of my followers sent me, you know, a DM. Fauci had a meeting with the Congressional Black Caucus. And so they were asking, okay, you know, how can they stop the spread in the black community? They wanted to help. So Fauci's saying, well, we're going to be rolling out contact tracing. Okay, so now those members in the CBC, they need to say, okay, well, when we're rolling out contact tracing, we now need to support this bill for data privacy laws,
right.
And these things need to be in it. In my letter, which I've already written, I've included three things that need to be in it. Number one, the first thing is that there is a time interval in states of emergency that people actually have access to your data. If they need your data for longer, then they need to issue a key. This is just like an API key. If you try to integrate some kind of technology to anything that you're working on, you might get an API key. An API key needs to be issued to them so they still have the right to pull your data in,
mm-hmm.
right? And then when you terminate the API key, they can't pull that data anymore. So that's the first thing. The second thing is you need to actually have access to your data in a very easy way.
Mm.
I'm in the state of California. If you're in California, you can get access to your data under the California Consumer Protection Act, but it's not standardized. It's very hard to do. Some companies say you can only pull your data twice a year or once a year. So they're really just saying, and that's your own data. So how are you going to tell me
right.
how often I can get my own data?
Right.
From you, you know? So the second thing is that we need a standardized way to actually request the data. The third thing is your data needs to be portable. I don't know how many of you guys have been through the process of downloading your data, but especially when you're downloading your data from big companies like a Google or an Apple or an Amazon, these are multi-service companies. They have a lot of data on you. When you get the data files from them, number one, they're very, very large. And number two, the architecture of the data files is chaotic. You might have CSV files, JSON files, HTML files, and then you might have, legitimately, I'm not exaggerating, 100 different folders within that one zipped folder that they give you.
Mm-hmm.
And your YouTube data might be in this folder, and then they might have a part of your YouTube data in this folder. And so what we also need to make sure that's included is that there's a standardized data format for when they give you your data. There needs to be one file that you have your data in a unified schema. So that's also what we're asking for. And then we're also asking for that you can not only just download your data, but you need to be able to transfer your data electronically. The reason why this is important is because if your data is not able to be transferred electronically, it's outdated immediately, because you're going to just go back online and do something else anyway. And also, this is basically what Apple and Google will have access to. A part of what they're rolling out is the ability to transfer your data wirelessly through Bluetooth. So if they're able to do it, you should be able to do it too.
Absolutely. Thank you. That was an excellent breakdown. And it's funny because when we think about things like Black Caucus, NAACP, and quite frankly, even a lot of government agencies that regulate and oversee some of these things, they don't always have tech experts there, people who actually know anything about it. And so they're really not the best people to go to, especially in times like this, to even understand the depth of what they're agreeing to and getting into, because, you know, the good nature of people can be utilized against them, right? Especially during times like this where people are frantic, fearful, and scared. So
that's
very,
exactly
very important.
Why we have to do the petition now to send it over to them so that they understand, no, we know we need a data privacy law so they can roll out contact tracing, but we need you to establish these baseline foundational things first before you roll it out. Because the issue is going to be, we're not going to be able to get any of this stuff in any laws if we don't have it in there now.
Right.
And at a foundational level, that's what needs to happen.
Yeah, I believe that everything that happens right now during this time really sets the tone for the future. And it won't be anything you can do once this part of the plan is solidified. So,
yeah.
Like I said, we have the opportunity to do something, but we have to do it now. We have a very small window of opportunity to work together, right, and
yeah.
to get things started. So bills like this and many more should be coming out of our community, especially by qualified people such as you that can understand the language of what's being done and the depth of what's being done. Because a lot of us really don't take our roles serious. When we know what's happening, we get to this place to where we get in our own pockets of understanding, and we kind of shun everybody else for not knowing. Right. Instead of saying that, oh, let me participate in the execution of the solution and then make everyone aware and make this a part of my mission statement. Because a good person has a duty to do good things. Right. So anytime that you're aware of something that can wrong a people. Right. And there's an evil that exists somewhere or a bias that exists somewhere. And you have the ability to do something. You have to look yourself in the mirror and ask yourself, why didn't you do it? Right.
Exactly.
And so.
Yeah.
That's why we appreciate you as a warrior in this tech fight. But I also would like to know more about the service that you have. It's called Streamline?
Streamlytics.
Because yeah. I definitely thought about this aspect of that. You know, data, of course, is so valuable. And we should have the ability to be able to sell our own data since it's going to be collected anyway. So therefore, essentially, you know, it becomes a stream of income for people to learn how to, you know, target you with data, essentially.
Yeah.
You know, you should have access to that. And it actually makes it easier for companies to get the data without having to spend a big marketing. They can go direct to consumer for data. Right. So it makes sense on both ends, actually. And then essentially within our community, we should have each other's data, those who deserve to have it, that can do something with it. Because when we talk about unified efforts, we can target each other utilizing these data systems the same way everybody else targets us. Right. So we sometimes get to this point where we think that everything that the masters do, this slave master paradigm kind of thinking of what I call it, is that anything we see the master do, we look at as immoral instead of saying that, wait a minute, let me put myself in that position, right? And let me just utilize it with good intention, right? And so this is kind of where we have to do with technology right now, whether it's AI, whether it's 5G, right? Whether it's the Internet of Things. Whatever it is, we have to utilize it for us because the tool itself is not evil. It's the user that can utilize it in a fashion against those who don't know.
Exactly. And, you know, I used to be based in Silicon Valley. And, you know, I don't think people are intentionally being exclusive. It's just that they don't care about people that's not in Silicon Valley. And they for sure don't care about nobody black in some place that's not Silicon Valley. You know what I'm saying? So to your question about Streamlytics, so what we're building is basically an ecosystem of different tools and services that allow people to leverage their own data. And we basically buy it from you, and then we resell it.
Wait, y'all. Y'all got to send this out to a lot of people, man. This is amazing. You know, I get a lot of guests on here, and everybody is amazing. And it's funny because we hadn't had a prior conversation to this, just a couple of, you know, texts, basically, in a DM. But
yeah.
I had already wanted to have a conversation with you, which is why I followed you in the first place. But
okay.
I didn't even know the depth of any of the things that you were doing. I just knew you were doing something good.
Okay.
Right. I sometimes follow intuition. But yes, that's amazing, 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 amazing. And those are the things that we have to value in our community a lot more. Unfortunately, social media has exposed what we value. And you can tell by likes, follows, what we give attention to, what we repost, right?
Yep.
That is really what we follow and what we curate to ourselves. And if that's what we do, then you kind of deserve what comes out of the algorithm you create for yourself.
Exactly.
Right? So,
that's exactly why we're focusing on data. So, you know, I've just been in technology for so long, and I honestly was kind of burnt out from, you know, the rigmarole. And I was like, what do I want to do next? What's interesting to me? And I was like, I want to do something that's foundational level, infrastructure level. Because that's where I feel like I can have the most impact. And that's data at this point in time. You know what I mean? And it's very important because especially when you start to think about how active our community is in particular around social justice or mobilization through social media, right? But it kind of always ends right there. Like, okay, Gucci did this design and we don't like it. We're going to make a lot of noise on social media and we're going to stop buying Gucci. or Popeyes is making a lot of money off of us, so we won't stop. But nothing is quantified, right? And so when you're focusing things at the data level, we can quantify it. We can say, oh, our community has spent XYZ on Gucci. So this $10 million fund y'all setting up Gucci is not,
right,
that's not it. Because that's all they gave was $10 million.
Right.
And I know black people spent more than $10 million, but we're saying, oh my God, thank you so much. And yep, and Gucci has this board of whomever that's on there right now. And so it's time to hold ourselves, meaning our own community, accountable as well. That the way that we used to do things, the way that social justice used to happen, doesn't necessarily need to be the way that it is in the future.
Absolutely not. It would be outdated in that aspect.
It's outdated. Because when you're talking data, you're talking facts. How you gonna dispute me on numbers?
Right. I literally just had this conversation yesterday because I was talking with my good sister Yanazda, and she's a social justice warrior. She's on the front line of whatever you see going on. She's going to be on the front line. But when we talk about the aggregate efficiency of our revolutions and activism, the needle hasn't moved much at all, right? Because our tactics haven't moved much. You understand me? So not only has we not gotten to that five-letter word, which is unity, and so it really doesn't matter what we do on any front if we can't have a unified effort. You can create one person to be the biggest star in the world, the new Malcolm or new whoever, but that won't matter. Unless there's a collective group of people that are working together and getting things done. So exactly. When it comes to data and technology, the new revolutionary usually are the ones who know how to use the tools the best because they can be more effective. But we've learned to think of revolutionaries as, you know, frontline soldiers, right, utilizing their body and their time. When it's really about the smart work that we do and how effective we can be rather than how efficient we are at doing something.
Exactly.
And so once we realize that, yes.
Absolutely. It needs to be egoless. Like, and I think that's part of the issue, honestly, in our community is issues become about the person, right? And not about the impact to the community.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have a certain skill set, but I don't have, 200,000 followers. You know what I mean? I don't have 1 million followers. So even though I have the information, we all need to work together.
Right.
We need to educate people who have a platform. We're all important, but we all need to work, together. So someone, who may have, 3 million followers, they don't have to feel the stress of feeling like, okay, well, I don't know tech and I can't explain it. That's fine.
I call that the catapult system. Is that in the catapult system, somebody might bring the actual catapult. Somebody might bring the rock or whatever that you put in there. Somebody might pull it back. But all three things work together. And all we have to do is give each other access. And the access is our new wealth. Right. Because now we can afford things that we normally couldn't on our own. We have access to things and resources and knowledge that we normally could get on our own. And especially with these platforms, there's really no reason to be selfish with them because we don't own them.
We don't own them.
So here we are selfish with something that someone else is getting paid off of. Right. And so in that aspect, we don't even know how long these things will be, how long where we're censoring even go. So we should be utilizing our platform to the 10th power while we even have access to utilize them in this manner. And so if we're not doing that, then it already shows an ego. Right. And how selfish we are with this platform because we think it is ours when we don't own it. It's the mentality of us standing on a block that we don't own. And so until we get real estate, right, creating our own ISP, having our own apps with our own algorithms, everything else, we just standing on the corner.
Exactly.
We just corner boys.
That's exactly what it is. But I do believe in our power as a community, and that's the only thing that gets frustrating is we are actually so, so powerful. And it's like sometimes we don't really get it. We don't really understand it. You know what I mean? So that's kind of what I'm doing and what I'm working on. I'm just trying to play, my part and my role.
Well, you're definitely doing yours, and I want to reiterate to the people that there's a petition that you can sign – that the good sister has started, right? That she's going to be sending out to, what did you say, Congress?
Yes, we're sending it to Congress. Mm-hmm. We're sending it to the oversight committees who oversee the Federal Trade Commission. The Federal Trade Commission is the ones who monitor basically all of the big tech companies. They will be the ones who enforce any data privacy law that we have. And then we're sending it to the CDC and some other groups.
Okay, excellent. So please, everybody that's on this line, make sure you sign it. Make sure you get another 100 people to sign it. You understand me? For those people who just entered, can you reiterate just really quickly exactly what it is with the tracking system?
So for those that just entered, what we're talking about is mobile contact tracing. And so as you guys know, our community, the Black community, has been affected a lot by the COVID-19 virus. And what is about to happen is they're going to start to roll out contact tracing and mobile contact tracing on our cell phones. And Google and Apple have teamed up to release an app in mid-May. They're also changing their operating system so that they can share data to track the locations of where people have been and their healthcare status. A lot of people have been asking, well, how are they going to know my healthcare status? And if you look at the news, a lot of this stuff is buried down in the news, but some of the stuff that they're looking at, it are immunity certifications or other health status certifications. And so to give you an example, what's happening in China right now, there's a QR code that's on your phone that the government issues you with your healthcare, with your health status. So you're green if you're cool to go into wherever you want to go. If you've already contracted COVID, you're red or yellow. And so it's very, very important that we sign this petition and that you share it, because the United States does not have any data privacy laws right now. There's no data privacy law. And what is going to happen is they're going to try to push through a data privacy law kind of under our noses while we're all scared about what's happening right now. So this is not a scary thing. It doesn't have to be a scary thing. We just have to organize, sign the petition, share, and make, you know, Congress know that we're serious about this as a community, and these certain things need to be in a new law.
We should have our clauses in everything.
Yes.
Right? We should have our hands in everything, because everything will affect us. I think what's happened in society is that we think about big politics and we forget about the trickle effect. We forget how it's going to affect us every single day. I know I grew up like that. Like, I ain't worried about the president, right? Because in your average day, you living in the hood, you living in an environment, you're not thinking about the long-term effects of any of those things. Right. And so that each one of those things that have happened behind those closed doors or open doors has affected you. Right. But you just had no decision making power within that at all. When you could have, the power has always been there. It's potential. It's just never been released into making it kinetic. So today that you've grown, you mature, you following 19 keys, you know about the good sister Abington. Is that how I pronounce your name?
Hey, and my name's Angela. Last name Benton. So A. Benton.
Okay. A. Benton. So now that you know, you have a responsibility. So you can go to my stories, swipe up and sign. You can go to the link in her bio and sign. Now, you also wrote an article about how it's going to be tracking Black people more. What was the content in that article?
So the point that I was making in the article is that we're seeing the numbers in terms of the morbidity rate of African Americans, of the infection rate of African Americans, it's higher than any other race, sometimes 50 to 70% higher, right? And so if it's higher, we are by default going to be tracked more in contact tracing when they roll it out. And so again, that means not just you, even if you're the one infected, it means everybody around you, your family. You know what I mean? Your friends, anyone you've been in contact with. So this has the propensity to be able to affect, for real, like this is no exaggeration, our whole community.
So now I think y'all can see how dire this is and why I wanted the good sister. I want to let you know that I extend my platform to you anytime. And I want to get involved with anything that you have going on. And definitely want to lend more of my platform and time to collaborating with you.
Okay, great. Yeah, I'm with it. So let's just keep the communication open, and I really do appreciate this.
Absolutely. Well, I definitely am going to go ahead and sign it right now myself. For everybody that signed it, please send me a picture of it so I can share it on the platform and we can get this out to more and more people and bring more awareness to this and many more things that's happening during this time that you might not have the time to pay attention to when you should because you're sitting at home. But I understand that we're in a recession, a looming depression, and people are trying to figure out how can they become more productive. This is just one aspect of something that you can do to be more productive and to have an effect on your own future. So I want to thank you again for coming, and I look forward to our next high-level conversation.
Yes, me too. Have a good day.
You as well. Peace. Peace, family. That was very important. I know it's a time where the twerk competitions are very serious right now, and we will dance around the issues and talk about spreading love and joy when there is a very serious threat to our freedom, justice, and equality as a people. Our lack of understanding technology and how it's used against us is our unwilling participation in our own oppression due to our unwillingness to do research to understand the effects of things in our environment. Right. This is our job to treat ourselves the right way and making sure that we have a say so in our future. In this new American scenario, you know, the new America doesn't have to be owned by white men and white women. The new America is supposed to be owned by the new minds. Right. They become the disruptors that do something about it. Right. We can't walk around calling ourselves kings, queens, gods. Right. Real men and women and walking in our divinity if we are allowing someone else to suppress that divinity and control our energy on a consistent daily basis. Right. So that makes us soft targets for anything. And they're constantly targeting us because we don't even realize who the shooter is. Ask yourself that question. Who is the shooter? Who's the devil that's pulling the trigger? And I ain't talking about your brother. That's lightweight when it comes to the crimes of humanity. Even though we got to stop doing that shit.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.